Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, which is Trinity Sunday, is entitled On Human Hearts and is written by the Reverend Canon Wallace C. Shields of the Diocese of the Mid-Atlantic States. A ruler of his people came to Jesus by night with sympathy for his work and some flattery. Rabbi, said Nicodemus, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus' response to the Pharisee's statement brushed aside the flattery and addressed the concern of becoming a member of the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus' literal-minded response led to the Lord's carrying the thought a step further. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is, without fundamental change that sets a person on a new way of life, he can neither see nor enter God's kingdom, and that change can come only by the work of God's Spirit. The prophet Ezekiel had seen this necessity long before the time of Christ. He emphasized it in the words addressed both to the exiles in Babylon and the people still in Judea. Those still at home were selfishly claiming that the whole land now belonged to them and seemed to show little concern for those forced to go into exile. Through the prophet, God assured the exiles their homeland. But on a deeper and more vital level, he promised, and I will give them a new heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Because of this working of God within them, they would keep his statutes. They would be his people, and he would be their God. Ezekiel also tells us very pointedly of our individual responsibility before God, a message needed by the exiles of his day, because they were claiming that they were suffering unfairly because of the sins of their ancestors. Each person will be judged according to his own ways, declared the prophet, in the message of both warning and hope. There was an urgent need for repentance, for a fundamental change in their lives. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will you die, O house of Israel? This newness of life will not be their work, but God's, who, in an humbling assertion, says that he will act to save his people to vindicate the honor of his own name, not for their sakes. He will bring them home, and there will be a great change, for he says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon them, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. The Jews saw these words as fulfilled in part in proselyte baptism, and we see in them a clear looking ahead to baptism with water and the Spirit, which our Lord told us we must have to enter his kingdom. In baptism of converts to Judaism, the effect was held to be a complete regeneration. The newly baptized person was called a little child just born, a child of one day. All sins were remitted because God could not punish anyone for sins committed before he was born. The change was so complete that the firstborn child to a convert after baptism was said to be his firstborn. This remarkable set of beliefs anticipated the blessing of Christian baptism. John the Baptist told his listeners that he had come to baptize with water, but also pointed them toward the baptism Christ would bring. He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. The Lord combined the two baptisms of water and of the Spirit, and the result of those who come by faith is that they are born again, born anew, born from above. By his great mercy we have been born anew to a living hope, wrote St. Peter, and St. Paul assures us that in Christ we are a new creation. As someone has said, we enter at baptism a new order of existence. We receive the blessings of new life as well as cleansing from the past. God is a loving and merciful source of these gifts. St. Paul wrote to Titus that God saved us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, for which we certainly must give humble and hearty thanks. The Holy Spirit works in a mysterious way, our Lord said to Nicodemus. The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it wills or desires, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, for whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Someone has paraphrased this verse as follows, that everyone born of the Spirit has something in him, not to be explained by merely natural causes. St. Paul wrote of discerning the works of God and said that we must be changed by him in order to know them, because, as he wrote to the Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Thus, a person not baptized until he was 12 years old recognizes the administration of that sacrament to himself as a turning point in his life, at which he entered into a new relationship with God, in which he began to know him as his Heavenly Father, while another who was baptized as an infant has never been aware of a time in which he did not know and love God as his Father in heaven. Someone in Corinth once brought up with St. Paul the question of being commended to the churches by others, or even by oneself. Paul replied that he and his co-workers didn't need this, because the people of the church in Corinth were their letters of commendation, written not as tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Tablets of stone is a reference to the two tablets of the law given to Moses at Mount Sinai. We think also of the tables of the Decalogue, painted on the walls of Colonial Church of England parishes in America. By God's grace, working through his Holy Spirit, the law is now written on tables of human hearts, written, as it were, in our wills, in our intent and purpose to follow God, and in our emotions, the gratitude for what God has done and is constantly doing for us. Living the Christian life becomes a spontaneous thing, not something forced or calculated, but inspired by God's Spirit within us and in the fellowship of Christ's people. It is the gracious and saving answer to the prayer, Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these, thy laws, in our hearts, we beseech thee. It is the working out of what Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.